I mean, at some point you have to stop because it's gonna be bigger than the observable universe.
Oh my god, this is not an idol game. People keep going, number go up. No, let the number go up. And then the influencer who did that content and say, "Oh man, why are people so generous? Please stop, double up. No, double up. Everybody's in on the joke. Double it up. To the next person.
It's like a very, it's a bad game of poker then at that point.
Yeah, at level 15 is 32,768. Level 30, it's 1 billion. And it grows like exponential.
Oh, man.
I mean, 1 million is 20th, so the 20th time you double it, it becomes 1 million.
Dang.
Easy how you can snowball and double down, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a bad idea. Keep doubling, double up the double down to the next person.
Oh, no.
Oh, will you eat this double down, no? Will you double it up to the next person?
Yes.
Man, will you cut off your lifespan for a bit, or you want to cut off more lifespan to the next person? Assuming you don't work out and clear the calories from that. Again, I have no idea why the double up conversation has to go, but it has to start about something, and let's start the podcast.
It has to start.
Yeah.
Before we keep on doubling up to the next person, and who knows where it goes. Welcome to the Download, the Game Matters Podcast.
Welcome to episode number
132.
Ooh. Almost. Yeah, it's not as good a number as 1, 2, 3, but eh.
Recorded on the 7th of April, 2023, for context. Yes, it is. I don't know if makes the cut. It has made the cut or not, but we've mentioned it somewhere during the cold open, which you may or may not heard. We're halfway through the Ramadan limited time event.
Yeah.
We've been fasting for a while since the last time we convened here.
Yeah, last time was the start. Now we're at the midpoint.
And no, you will not hear us exactly at the end of Ramadan. We have some celebration doing, so prepare for some special episode next episode, but we'll get there when we get there lah. For now, we have April to talk about. An April of video games, I guess. There are video games. Are there? I see in the docket there are games. Maybe. Yeah.
Video games? Wow.
Good video games.
And before we move on even further, let's introduce the panel. We have Daniel over there.
Hello. Welcome to the remote bat mic, Daniel.
On the other side is Anan.
What's up?
And I am Amirul Macronos Ashraf, or Mac. And yes, now we talk about video games.
Video games, wow.
Yes.
From three choices, from the solo, the linear path to, you know, a choice. Lots of research, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Who's up? Who's up and about?
Before you press the cricket button.
Okay, yeah. Mac, why did you play a dead game?
More like undead. No, undead. It is a dead game because it is full of ghosts. It's full of ghosts and wires, and apparently it is set in Tokyo.
Kyoto.
Tokyo. Ghostwire Tokyo. I was waiting for this on game to arrive on PC Game Pass, which supposedly arrived next week. But then I realized, yo, this got in PS Plus Extra for a bit now. I think like last month.
Yep.
Like rather than wait and play on my now aging PC as far as current gaming standards, PC specs are considered. This is like a 4-year-old thing. Around there lah. I can just put it on my PS5 and see what's up and about. I put it on the docket there. Why did I play Ghostwire Tokyo? And that's for me to know and for you to find out. I cannot say it why. For reasons that will become clear in the next few weeks, you will know why I am curious about this game. But I will highlight those points to make it clear why I decided to randomly, well, not randomly, like intentionally check out this game at this point of time. First off, this was the game from Tango Game Books from last year, right? Should be from last year, yes.
Yeah.
If Hi-Fi Rush wasn't out this year, I think Tango Game Books is in a bit of pickle because Ghostwire Tokyo is this game this game. I won't say bad, but I think it falls into not great. It's good lah, just good. Premise of the game: you are a guy who suddenly got into an accident in the middle of the Shibuya scramble. And then a ghost suddenly says hello and decided to join your body or something like that. And then you discover that there's a weird thing that's happening where everybody gets spirited away except their clothing got left behind. So they are now just like entangled spirits. And now the whole area of Tokyo is covered in fog of death or something like that. Except the animals, the cats and dogs are spared. They are living their good life. The ghosts only mess around with the humans for whatever reason. And now you are out here like figuring out there's a guy in a Hanya mask that seems like he wants to do some weird stuff who may or may not be ghosts. And ghosts are like lying around just randomly. They are not called ghosts, they're called visitors because they are visiting from another world, from the underworld. So yeah, in terms of the premise, Ghostwire Tokyo sounds intriguing, kan? But I think everybody have the right reaction when they reveal the gameplay. It's just like, Allah, first person, I don't mind the first person bit. Because the way the game is designed, it's an open world game. You get to explore the streets of Tokyo, and it, so a lot of the places that you go, it feels very it has the vibes of an immersive sim, so to speak, because you know there's the level of intimacy within the open world. It's not like your usual open world games where, yo, this is huge land. Then we put some dots, hotspots here and there. So this is content. There are other parts, just empty land that you have to traverse. No. They scale it very small. So every street, every pathway, there's always something interesting to see. At the very least, you will just appreciate the environment design lah, because yes, this look very much looks like a Tokyo, complete with your knockoff Famimart. I forgot what it's called, but there is an equivalent kombini with an F starting. I forgot the name, Fuji Yamart or something lah. So it's vaguely Famimart. And what else? There you can find bars. You can find all of them closed down lah. But you can find bars. You can find hostess clubs. You can find hotels, all with the neon signs, whatever. And you can even hear the the original music that's playing that kind of feels the vibe of, you know, this is a very vibrant part of town where everybody is blaring music to catch the attention of pedestrians to, hey, come here. So a lot of good environment design. Like if you like the sort of player who like goes around in Im Sims and inspect the toilet just to see, oh, can you interact with the toilet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ghostwire Tokyo lets you open and close the toilet seats, which is okay lah. But you know what? The toilets, you have your over the top Japanese certified bidet. Nice. You can see even the controls then. And you can find I do not know how to say it in English, but the toilet cangkung. The one that's just lay on the ground.
Squat toilet.
The squat toilet.
Squat toilet.
Those are there. And even crazier again, you know those portal potty things again? Those have squat toilets as well.
Ooh.
Which is like, it's a very, very small detail that you won't actually come across like, especially if you just play the game for the game's play sake, you won't be figure out, you won't even come across to like appreciate it. But if you just do it virtual tourism, there's a lot of those like hidden details like, oh yeah, this guy's no Tokyo. Oh Lord, where's Tango Game Boy's base at?
I wonder why.
Vaguely around there. At least they are in the same country. Hello, where is it? Oh, they are in Odaiba, Tokyo. Okay, good to know. Yeah, in terms of like the world building there, I mean, this is just a heaven to just like sightsee without the I guess it kind of feels like 2020 Tokyo without the pedestrians.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I'm not sure about the goods though, so that's a whole nother situation lah. But if you like exploring a night city with all the neons and the rainy lights, I think just exploring Ghostwire Tokyo's world is fascinating. Oh yeah, by the way, is it interesting that I haven't mentioned about the gameplay yet?
Do we want to?
Do we have to?
I should, because the big reasons that I checked out Ghostwire Tokyo is to see how the magic game works. For research purposes, since I've already played Forspoken this year, why not check out another game with magic powers? Because, you know, maybe there are more magic powered games coming out. Like we have Forspoken, as we mentioned, Hogwarts Legacy is out there for those who want to play that game.
Yeah.
And you know, so what else might be in store? But so anyways, the gameplay again. Oh man. It doesn't work, and it's not because it's in first person. It's because the kit that you have just doesn't gel well. Here's a good explanation. You start with one of the basic magic spells, and you just like push your finger to the front, and then wind power comes out. The green magic, they call it like wind. There's a word for that. Something like that. They weave the wind out of your hands. So you're weaving about magic spells and okay, that's fine. But shooting the ghosts, the visitors, it feels a bit too chunky. They feel a bit more spongy. I guess you can say kind of like Resident Evil 4 style of enemies. It takes a lot of hits before they actually like stop from attacking you. A bit too much. And then when they are down, they are not completely dead. You can also like do your takedown animation, and by default the takedown animation takes a lot of time. And you are not invincible by doing so, which means that you are open to being attacked. And this game is the sort of game where your skill tree has a 30% decrease of time to reduce the long wait of the the killing blow, which translates to I'm not sure if it's fast or not. It still feels slow.
That feels like, yeah, that feels like the Borderlands, like the Borderlands style. Like, oh yeah, you have to wait at 30 sec cooldown to use this.
Yeah, the Borderlands kind of incremental skills increase. Yeah, it works because you are always incrementally getting the numbers going up. That's why it works in your looter shooters or your loot games. Even I guess it comes from Diablo as well, because incrementally you're getting stronger. So you always see the number go up. So even though you don't see the immediate effects of those 1% or 2% increase that you keep on adding, and but over time you will get OP. But when the game shows you a skill tree, and most of the abilities are, hey, do you know this cool ability that should have been unlocked by default? It's behind the skill tree. Unlock this first.
Dang.
And then the next upgrade, you've just unlocked that ability, kan? How about you make it do just a little bit by a percentage faster? Ah. So you see the problem with Ghost Warrior Tokyo's Combat. And even the basic abilities, you have like, I think, 4 weapons. You have your Wind, which is like your basically handgun lah, and then you have your red elemental, your fire attacks, which is like I guess a rocket launcher, kind of like that. It just shoots, and then you can hold it for an AoE attack, so rocket launcher lah. It does splash damage as well, and then the water one is attacks in wide arc, so shotgun. The feel of it is just so iffy. It doesn't feel like all the kits mesh together well. So most of the time, I'm just like hammering R2 for the sake of it. And then because this is on PS5 with the DualSense controllers, they also try, yeah, let's put adaptive trigger in it. Let's make the triggers be a little bit harder to press. Oh my god, now I have to like force myself to click over and over with pressure. You see the problem with the combat. And also you don't really move a lot, because there's barely any like traversal that works within combat. Your options for defense is basically just raise a shield. Yes, you can parry in this game, but the parry sucks. You know how the parry sucks? Usually, even like in Hi-Fi Rush, when you parry, to emphasis the power of that particular action, you have hit stops, which is when the animation is purposefully stopped, but everything else is kind of like moving just a little bit, to emphasis the impact of that action. The parry in Ghost Warrior Tokyo, it stutters. The game just like feels slow. Totally, like the frame just freezes for a bit and then it moves for a bit. Like,
oh, no.
It jump cuts. Rather, it doesn't feel powerful. It feels like the game has a stroke. So, Ghost Warrior Tokyo. I'm glad I didn't pay for this. man, even at half price, I feel like, I'll be cheated. You paid that for the virtual tour around Tokyo. That's all I'm gonna recommend this game for. In terms of the gameplay, in terms of the story beats, nah, not really. But if you like your lore dump, the encyclopedia thing, and it explains a lot of the Japanese folklore. There's even like dedicated lore entries for all of the consumable items. So yes, you can get an onigiri, and there are 3 flavors of onigiri, and there are 3 entries of all the history of that 3 flavored onigiri. I cannot remember the name, but one of them is there's a plum in there. Yes, that's the word. So yeah, it even labels it. Of course, if you know your Japanese, you know your kanjis and your kanas, yeah, you can read everything. So it's that kind of game lah. Also, the game also defaults to Japanese audio when you start. There is English dub, but it defaults to Japanese audio because you know you want to use Japanese dub for this one. So it's fascinating because I feel like magical combat can be done better. But at least now I know what to look for when a magical beast first person combat game can falter. So good reference point is all I'm gonna say. Interesting game. I don't recommend it to everyone except for those weeps who wants to go to Tokyo.
I mean, okay, besides Yakuza, where else you have a good trip of Tokyo without the challenges of what? Immigration? Besides Yakuza?
Persona 5 is good, right?
Yeah, Shibuya, that's Shibuya as well.
What else?
We don't have a lot of Tokyo roaming
games. Yeah, we don't have a lot of Tokyo roaming games, so this is good enough.
I haven't checked, like...
Unless you want to count the Midnight Club 2 punya cookie cutter Tokyo. the square circle. I think like square map. Just literally square.
It's from the olden times where we're not really technically going to one-to-one, yeah. But yeah, vibe-wise, I think sure. Oh, if you like Tokyo Highways, there's a game for that.
Oh yeah, Tokyo Extreme Racer.
Oh yeah, that those are actual Tokyo Highways. The C1 Auto Loop is in there. It's not just in Gran Turismo. But I mean, the latest game to have that is Gran Turismo still.
Yeah. Also, you can download the mod for Assetto Corsa.
Oh, yeah. That mod is very good. That I cannot remember, but that mod is totally like trying to replicate the vibes of Tokyo Extreme Racer, which is fantastic. Still, despite what I say about Ghostwire Tokyo, they should make Devil Tower Kuala Lumpur. Yeah, make our city haunted. Sure. Put our Pontianak here. Roaming around. And all the weird jeans and the suckers. Yeah, put in.
I mean, okay, we do have a ghost game. That
we do have a ghost game, yeah.
That I probably will incorporate a lot of our local ghosts. That game is called... wait, I forgot. Shit.
Is it Cabaret? Oh, Phasmophobia, is it? Oh, yeah, it does.
They have plenty of like spirits and ghosts. I think they have one, I forgot, like Southeast Asian ghost, one or two.
Phasmophobia, again?
Phasmophobia, I remember.
I think that one of the updates literally add a hantu. A literal hantu.
Nice. They have a hantu.
An actual hantu.
This is just ghosts in Malay, but yeah. Always actual, interesting.
Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, put it in.
Bayar apa, seremban.
Atu bayar seremban for no reason.
Why seremban, you know? Takkan nak boleh tahan turut kat KL, you don't see ghosts in KL.
No, we really. Know. But I mean, if you're gonna go mystical, towns that have the mystical vibes, let's see, old town, old colonial town, let's say maybe Ipoh can get that vibe.
Yeah, Ipoh can.
Melaka.
I mean, the nearest you can go is Shah Alam because they have the haunted bungalow, right? In Shah Alam.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Oh man, shout out. Melaka is a half and half because it's too urbanized already, the main town Melaka. It used to be very rural, not rural, but you know, old-timey vibes, and
yeah.
Like even the Chinese cemetery, the Bukit Cina that people keep saying about, ooh, haunted things, is already like close to the urban development.
Like modern as hell.
Everything is just like old buildings popping up. So, less Nuki.
It is become like Langkawi, like commercialized as hell.
Yep.
Like,
somewhere in Kelantan has that vibe.
Mayhaps.
Not too familiar with the surroundings there, but just putting it out there. But yeah, plenty of places to do spooky ghosts roaming around in a town covered with fog. If you place it somewhere in some town in Malaysia, there plenty to choose from.
Yeah, we can do it in Genting.
Shoot.
Oh my goodness.
Genting. Oh man.
Genting.
The Highlands is enough to invoke horror. just call it the Highlands.
The Highlands.
Highland
Tower. Oh my god.
My god.
That's a set piece. I can already see a set piece level. For copyright reasons, you may not get to see Genting Highlands, so just see the Highlands. Oh man, that's already ominous. Yeah, plenty of places to do spooky spooky open world. Oh, so despite my problems, my issues with Ghostfire Tokyo, world building is not it. That's the main takeaway. That there's still merit in this sort of games. What's next on the docket? Since I do not want to prolong Ghost Talk.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Do we? I'm about to prolong Ghost Talk.
I see.
The opposite has happened.
A ton has been passed.
I know. Like, we've been talking about, like, local ghosts and all. But meanwhile, myself, like, oh yeah, I've been playing a game about the local spookies here in Asia. So I've been playing this game by local developers Persona Theory, and their recent game Cabaret is, I think, just released on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, at the time of recording. Yeah, so essentially what boils down this game is, what it is, one of those, I want to say, I think we already said this last time with Valhalla and like Coffee Talk. It is those make drink / therapy talk something. I what was the term we made it? I forgot.
Oh man,
already.
Whoa, we should name this genre already. I think we have. Oh man, another episode of Name That Genre.
Name That Genre, yeah, another Name That Genre. It's making a drink while talking about life, while changing lives, essentially.
What do you call it? Wait, no, there's a term for something like that. I know in the car culture folks, they call it the cars and coffee, and there should be something more generic for that.
You cannot use that. If you want to use coffee talk, we cannot use that. That's one of the titles.
We gotta do a coffee talk like, oh no, it's Souls like again.
It's too specific.
But it is, that's it, a conversation over drinks.
Conversation over drinks, yeah, that's a good way to say it again, like conversation over drinks game. So essentially, Cabaret, you play as Jebat. Really good name for a main character, by the way.
Jebat. You got Jebat.
Yeah, Jebat. He has been cursed, and he is now the Cabaret. This is basically the underworld's version of a tea house. And he is the next tea master. So, unwillingly, he has to essentially make tea for the many, many ghouls and the monsters that we have just talked about just recently. From the local folklore. So we have the Pontianak. We have I think like one of the ghosts is, I think like is a Garuda, yes, a Garuda, yeah. It's like it's missing all of this, like Garuda, Pontiana, that weird thing that I forgot the name. It's the pig face. It's I think Chinese based, but I forgot what's his name. But it's in the vein of essentially the games like Coffee Talk and Valhalla. So sit down. Okay, so make a tea for him or her. And then, okay, let them talk to you. Let them speak to you. What do they have? What's it called? What is their problems of that day?
So what are their problems of these ghosts?
That's a good question. That is an interesting question. I'll give you an example, Matt. What is a problem of a Pontianak, do you think?
Yes, I'm very familiar with Pontianak, as vampires do. Yeah, this is technically the vampires for Southeast Asia. Let me take a guess.
Take a guess.
Babies.
Not really. I think for the Pontianak one, mm-hmm. I remember vaguely it's like they have been living a long time. They have lived a long time due to the fact that they have been cursed by childbirth. You know, you know the lore for Pontianak, right? Like cursed after childbirth, and then you are now roaming the night skies for newborns' blood, whatever.
Yeah, babies. So babies are not the problem, okay.
No, babies are the problem, though. The problem is that they have lived for far too long. And all of their members, and they feel like it's better to actually just die. Since, which are like very, I would say like quite kind of philosophical. Like, oh yeah, I am a monster, but monster has feeling too. So to say. I mean, like the tea making is quite interesting. It's the same thing as Valhalla. So you have your different type of tea. So you have chamomile, chrysanthemum, green, and all of them have their own like stat values and much. I'm like, I'm gonna say emotional balance. So let's say you wanna make a happy drink, like make the patient happy because, oh no, I just had a bad day in the underworld. I need something to cheer me up. You have to make a chrysanthemum tea with something that feels, gives back a good positive vibes.
So I guess there's no place for, I want to say you can't make teh tarik with.
I don't think you can make tetari, but you can make a tea that is the ingredients is coconut milk or shard glass.
Close enough. Santan it is. Pour it in. It's milk.
Pandan leaf with ailongkang. Yeah,
well, hold a minute. Ailongkang. Like literally, yeah, switch.
Swamp water, they call it swamp water. Like, nah, I know what that is.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, okay. Swamp water is ailongkang, eh?
And I think, like, if you go to a certain trash point of your friendship with the, let's say, the Pontianak or the Toyos or the.
Shoot, the Toyol!
Yeah, there's a Toyol, yeah, there's a
Toyol. And so, our version of the goblins. And they even hoard money too. You can send them to do kleptomanic stuff. Yo Toyol, get me loot. And just say oi. Or something like that.
But in this game you can play Chongka with him.
God.
And Guli, yeah, you can play Chongka or Guli with him, so my god, so technically a Toyol is a child, can so you have to like
I believe that's how you prevent yourself from getting robbed by Toyo.
Play with the Toyo.
As in the legend say, if you live around like Guli and stuff, they will play instead of stealing your money.
There you go.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's why. Video game storytelling. Video game mechanics tells the story. Huh? Yeah, that's actually
you
really good. Yeah.
Them with Guli.
They're kids, so that's actually a pretty good. Yeah, I haven't noticed that. Like, that's why, like, why are we playing Chongka with this kid? And then I just like, oh, he is a kid. I keep forgetting Toyos are kids.
Poor kid. That's why they want to steal.
That's why they want to steal money. Give them the toys. Give them the ball. The annoying balls. That goes tap-tap-tap every 50 seconds.
I mean, all kids who wants to play with the ball like Tato Lato, Guri. Oh, God.
Balls it is. I see you enjoying Cabaret. Cabaret.
Yeah, I'm enjoying Cabaret. Yeah, like, there are some, like, some story elements that I wish they made better. Tapi it is part of the storyline, so I understand it is a thing they had to do. Tapi yeah, pretty good. I mean, yeah, you get to see not only our local, I wouldn't say folklore, but yeah, a local horror folklore. We have the Indonesians, we have the Philippines as well. Because, you know, this is a big cabaret. Yeah, this is a big tea house cabaret.
And I guess, under Alam Bunian, there are no geographical borders that separate us. We are all one culture.
Everybody just vibes. Yeah, everybody just vibes at the tea house.
Nusantara supremacy down there.
The actual Indonesia, right?
Yes, that includes Philippines as well. Yeah, you in too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I'm Brunei in Singapore, so
yeah, the Philippines was the I cannot pronounce this, but I think I'll do my best. The Tik Balang, I think that's how they pronounce it.
I see.
It's a
describe me.
Is it a bird? I think it's a birdman thing. Tik Balang.
Balang.
Let me check. It's a. I remember, like, because it was. During the start of the game, he was very, like, I think, very hostile because, you know, we are a newcomer to this very weird thing. Oh, yeah, no, it's not a birdman. I think the Saraki. This one is the horseman.
Oh, excuse me, sexy horseman? move away, Minotaur. We have Tik Balang here, man.
We have our own horseman, yes.
Dude's looking ripped. Oh my god,
his only purpose is to mislead travelers. So yeah, I understand why he is. I understand why he is quite, you know, very worthy of us.
A werehorse. So you can change into a sexy horseman, okay?
Yeah.
I see.
The actual law. Oh yeah, the Indonesian one is besides the Garuda is the Babi Ngepet, which is like a pig man face. I think it's from Bali. It's pretty sure it's from Bali. Yes, I've heard that before.
Babi what again? Nyempit.
Gepet.
Gempit. Babi Gempit. There you go.
Yeah. Yep. Bali. Yeah. It's Javanese and Bali. It's like. And I like how one of the articles in Malaysia, again, locally, if you Google search Babi Gempit, is Tudo Jiran Kaya Jadi Babi Gempit. Accused a rich famous rich neighbor of being a pig.
Oh,
being a ghostly pig, amazing.
I mean, that's the usual thing about Southeast Asia folklore. It's all about us henching into monsters, transforming into monsters. Like, it is like, oh yeah, let's do the magical girl transformation and change into the weird things.
No, I think our one is more grotesque. I feel.
It is grotesque. It just happens to be that magical girls also transform as our Transformers. Yes.
three waypoints. On the left, magical girl. On the in the middle, Transformers, and on the right, Taurus beyond your comprehension.
Mm-hmm. They are all related. All related.
All of them comes back into the same door. Yeah, that is. I didn't want to talk about like, but now nah, too busy, you know. So yeah, that was that was a sneak preview to Cabaret, the game that we are currently reviewing. Suffice to say, you will see it by the time the next episode comes up, and yeah, it's fun. I've learned more about horror folklore than ever before. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, considering we're coming to the end game of the limited time event.
Oh, the horror will unlock in about 15 days.
That's why. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not know? Take the notice. Ramadan locks all the Satans out. And then they gonna come back into the world. Oh, so it says lah. Look, as long as we do not pierce the veil, we Gucci. As long as we don't pierce the veil, because man, you know what? Before we end the camera talk, I need to talk about this my weird supernatural encounters. And all of them are like I've been around communities where people share around all the weird horror stories and whatnot. Man. It's just a shame that I never maybe it's a good thing lah, but I never got to see any of them happening. Not happening, but I've encountered some, but I'm still not sure if it's actual ghosts or people are just being silly. But it was a wild times there. That there were like a lot of weird, stupid stories when you were children. Like, I remember there's one weird urban legend that we keep sharing about that one song from Siti Nurhaliza, that Cindai again. Cindai di mana, and then someone has been responding with Cindai di sini in the ghastly sound. I went with search parties to like go and see if that's a thing. Nothing happened, but people panicked. They ran away and left me around like, what's happened? What happened here? But the weirdest one is a case of what do you call it? I forgot the term, but when people are just hysterically screaming out of nowhere. What's the term again?
Hysteria?
Yes, it is there. Hysteria. Yeah, there were cases of hysteria because I was at I spent most of my time at the boarding school. So, you know, people are around each other a lot. And, but then we keep on hearing stuff about people not sleeping well. And then stuff crept up about hysteria. And then there were instances where hysteria happened in the local at the local surau, because you know every night we convene there for prayers and stuff, man. And then suddenly a girl back there in behind the veil suddenly screaming out of nowhere, whoa, what's happening here? And then the guys at front who were like leading the recitation stuff, and they were reading Yasin, man. When they heard that, Yasin, somebody, Wal Quran, okay, everybody keeps on like getting louder and louder. Oh my god, this is like
the panic happens.
It's panicking, but controlled panicking, because everybody's just haven't like go mental yet. We are that scared. But then things turned for worse when after one of the girls stopped screaming. It suddenly spread to another girl, also screaming. What the hell? And then at that point of time, the teachers come in, the wardens come in. Okay, we have a situation here. Settle down, relax, everybody stay here. But then for whatever reason, I cannot remember why, but we have like, okay, the seniors around there. I was a senior back then, and during that time. Yeah. Okay, a few seniors down there. Okay, we're gonna go out of the surau, go look into whatever is outside and see what's going on. Things are dire right now. People are screaming. Probably it's not safe. So we will let go out of the surau like as if we are like preparing to drop down DD, because you know there's like the sliding door again. So everybody's waiting at the sliding door. Some guy said, okay, hold on, baca bismillah dulu, read all the stuff that you need to do. Go forth, Godspeed. Sending us one by one, go outside as if we are like troopers trying to find ghosts or whatever. It was wild. The weirdest thing is, I encountered nothing. And everybody said, so what are we going out about again? Go back.
You didn't get into the limited time event fast enough.
No, I didn't increase my insight high enough.
Oh yeah, true. You cannot see the horrors beyond your comprehension.
Yeah, I didn't spec into that. That's why. So I just like, oh, okay, we were panicking because of what again? And then suddenly things settled down for whatever. Until now, I still don't know what happened back then. But I know there were cases of hysteria and it was serious. So we never know. Was it really some Pontianak hanging out with us? I don't know. But it was wild, man. Wild. So anyways, Camry. Up now.
Camry up now. See, that's why we like these type of games. If it's very close to home, figuratively and literally.
Yeah, if you want to pierce the veil and actually take the insight and see the horrors beyond comprehension, presented as very cute and not really
yeah,
like cute,
novel,
but
yeah, novel style, yeah,
attractive. Let's say attractive yeah. Monsters of various species. Go check it out, lah. Also, a very nice preservation of Southeast Asia culture that can be experienced in video games. So.
Yep.
Speaking of culture, I heard someone is experiencing a different kind of culture somewhere in Central America.
Yes.
Wait, do you consider? Oh yeah, Mexico is in Central America.
Oh my goodness.
It's not South, right? Yeah, it's Central.
No, Central, it's
within, yeah.
No, but I guess you can say Latin America, which covers
yeah,
both.
Latin America, Latam.
Yeah.
Part of the Latam region. So yeah, I've been cruising through Mexico since last weekend. For some reason, I felt like how is it? I want to get back into like arcade racing instead of just simulation racing because I installed Assetto Corsa and I installed F1 and stuff, but for some reason this realistic like simulation style racing doesn't vibe with me anymore. I'm like, okay, how do I feel this like racing void in my heart? So oh yeah, I can play Forza through Game Pass. Forza Horizon 5. So I downloaded Forza and I'm like, okay, I'm hooked. I got the Forza bug now. God dang it.
How's the intro?
It does that, yeah. It does that
sometimes. Yeah, it's bombastic. It's perfect. The intro is perfect.
Didn't know how to start the game, man.
Like, oh, you drive AMG1 and then what? Porsche Safari, I believe.
Yeah, like for Porsche Safari, yep. And then... Safari.
Anyway, it's awesome. They really know how to hook you in, whether you're seasoned Forza players or new to the franchise. It's like, ah, god damn it. I get back the how to say the racing game mojo through Forza now. yeah.
All right. No. First question: what is your starter car between the three?
I picked the. Wait, let me remember again.
It's either the Corvette atau the Bronco, the E Bronco, or I think I forgot the one more.
Yeah, it's the Supra.
Oh, Supra, yeah, the Supra.
I got the Supra.
Oh yeah, good choice.
Like it is. I am.
Okay, so what do you? Okay, since you take the Supra again, how do you feel about the car handling, because I think they have a bit tweaked it since the last update, because now you can go, because I remember before this before the rally expansion, okay, you cannot go to water that well because you get slowed down massively, but now they actually tweak it to make the car go plow to water better, if that's a thing. I'm not sure.
I did not drive a lot on water except on like my Bronco and stuff. I usually go off-road with my off-road cars. So I don't know about that. But yeah, I mean, like driving wise, the physics is good. It's not too realistic, but at the same time, not too arcadey. It's like it just hits.
Just right, yeah. Just
right, yeah. And then there's the aspect of tunability, right? So you can tune your cars. So you can go for, let's say, a drift bias. Or you can go for like a speed bias or more aero for cornering and stuff. And the tweaks, you can feel the changes. Like it really does change something. You lower your tire pressure, you increase your aero, you install body kit, wider front tires or rear tires, and then differential bias, brake bias, and stuff. It all works. Even though it's kind of tedious because you have to like manipulate yourself, but there are plenty of guides. You can just Google, like, okay, if you want speed, okay, which part should you focus on? If you want drift, which part should you focus on? Yeah, so yeah, it's fine. If you're really that crazy on tuning, you can go deep end, like every single number. You can just, okay, plus one. What is it effect? Plus one, another one, another one. But I nobody got time for that.
That's why there's the handy dandy tune sharing thing. You can just, okay, yeah, who has the best tunes?
You can tune share, like code sharing, like sharing tune. Hmm. Then there's the, okay, don't get me started on the designing. The vinyl stuff, okay, yeah. That one's awesome. The fact that you can customize, as in the visuals, and then share it with people, and then you can just download cool stuff. I'm like, oh god, it's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it deserves our Game of the Year award. Honestly.
But it didn't, did it? Almost there.
It's almost there. Second.
Almost there.
Top five.
You know what? I kind of regret voting Hot Wheels as the winner of the racing game.
That I cannot say more. I did my best for Forza.
Unlike F1, we cannot take up rules 1 year or above.
Yeah, it's okay. We don't retcon here.
Don't retcon championship winners after 5 years.
It's etched in stone now, or rather, it's already on that compilation side of all the Game of the Year awards. Yeah, don't need to change lah. They've already linked us there. So,
I mean, games also change, right? So there's possibility that it gets better now, even though it wasn't before. So yeah, they don't change stuff.
Always lah. Awards is always an anchor. It encapsulates that moment of time.
Yes.
So.
Correct.
At least when we look back, we can figure out. Oh yeah, what happened during that time that we talk about? Oh, this is what happened. Oh, times have changed, huh? Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. Yes.
So you're just messing around with the base game, right? For Forza.
Yeah, base game. Just Forza. But for me personally, the base game is already like plenty.
Oh,
like,
yes.
The map is huge. And there's off-road, and there's the desert and roads. Like, you have highways. So I can just use the Pagani. I forgot. Which Pagani was it?
There's a Zonda, there's a Huayra.
Zonda. I think it got Zonda R or something.
Oh, yeah.
I just peed through the Jambatan Pulau Pinang.
Oh, yeah. The one big suspension bridge, like down south on the map.
Damn. I mean, when I play, I'm like, damn, this game is good. It doesn't have to be realistic, it's good.
The main thing that's keep on going for Forza Horizon is just the good vibes only vibe.
Yeah. It's just good vibes around. Like, even though you don't play any racing missions or stuff, you just drive around. It's like therapy. Oh yeah, just speed through. And as per usual, the best car personally are not the fastest.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The fastest car is not the best. Like, each car is like personal to you. And currently my favorite is the C8 Corvette. Yeah.
Yep.
I like the C8 Corvette and the Ferrari 430. Yeah. I think I got a Ferrari. Dude, the Ferrari sounds like really good.
Oh yeah, wait until you get your Lexus LFA.
I got LFA. And I put turbo on it. Damn.
It screams like and as it good. Should. Mm-mm.
It screams probably, yeah. The LFA is my favorite too, I forgot. When it comes to sound. Yeah. LFA, but of course you have the Lexus LFA and the Ferrari. Like you can feel the soul. When you just beat through with Ferrari, I don't know how they do it. The soul of the prancing horse.
Soul of the prancing horse.
Yeah,
Forza is like that, lah. Yeah, there is, and the fact that I lost count, but there is at least more than 600 cars and counting is still like staggering.
Yep, 600 and counting because they add it every month. And it's two every month.
And there's a car for everyone. Don't worry.
Yeah, oh, from. Oh man, that Forza still wins when it comes to joke cars.
Do they. This one that has the Isetta, correct?
It has an Isetta, you can get that. But there's also.
Yeah, I need to get the Isetta.
There's a limited, it is hidden in limited time events, or if you can find it on the auction, yeah, the P50.
Oh, they have the P50.
Yeah, you have to get it at auction because it was what's it called? One of the cars that you get in the seasonal events. So,
might cost you.
It only costs a million. Yeah, it might cost you a million, but money's nothing.
I barely have a million right now.
So you will grind more. Money is not a problem in Forza. Yeah. Unlike some other game.
We got this.
I don't mind. I mean, this game is fun enough with my cars as it is. If I get more, it's even more fun.
And then find the curse, all the curse liveries to put.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably gonna be a few Thomas the Tank Engine liveries down there if you want.
Wait, I forgot. Which car was it? I got a car and then I downloaded the McDonald's
livery. Oh my God.
Because for how do I say this? I called that car the clown car for some reason. And I go search for a livery convenient and there it is, the McDonald's. Which car was it? Let me check.
You get your Happy Meal mobile.
Oh yeah, the clown shoe. The NW Z3.
The clown shoe.
The BMW Z3 M Coupe.
Okay, I see it now.
Oh yeah, the clown shoe car.
Yeah, that's why I got the McDonald's livery because I call it the clown shoe.
Like, it does look like a clown shoe. Like, just the shit itself is just weird.
Do they have Tesla in here?
No. Not since Forza 3.
Damn.
But there are many other electric cars.
Yeah, yeah, like...
they have the Seat Cupra. The Cupra electric.
Seat.
The Taycan.
The e-tron. The Taycan, of course.
Taycan. Oh yeah. I got the GMC Jimny, which is basically the OJ Simpson Bronco.
Oh, the OJ Simpson car. Yeah. And the new Bronco.
The OG Bronco.
A lot of deep cut cars are here.
We got Ken Block's Cosworth, the Fords.
Yeah,
the entire Gymkhana Fords, all of them there.
Yeah. I got the AMG CLK GTR and I put the shiniest silver paint.
Proper silver arrow. I still love looking at the car, like, oh, look at this supercar. And then you see that one ornament at the front there still sticking up. Oh, God damn it.
Oh, no.
It was the time before they decide to, yeah, you can put this as a logo, rather.
I got the Devo, but yeah. I mean, the hypercars are some of the lesser interesting cars, to be honest. Because all they do is speed. That's it. I prefer handling. I need to get an Audi R8.
Yeah, good choice.
So yeah, that's my Mexican adventure in Forza Horizon.
Nobody wants your dad, you're here forever.
Mm-hmm, enjoy your stay. You.
I will.
There will be a point of time when you start doing the festival playlist and enjoy looking at the puns, right? Because my god, the pun names are strong. They playground games, when they make Fable, the one thing I will not be surprised is if they can squeeze a lot of puns and wordplay in whatever writing they have. Because my god, they are too strong. Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
It's an event for the Hemi Coulda.
Oh,
you race
Chevy Barracuda, is
it? Yeah, yeah. That one. Is it Plymouth there? But yeah, one of them lah. The Hemi Coulda, Coulda, woulda, shoulda, shoulda, woulda, coulda. The pun is just like cannot. One of the best lah.
Yep.
And yeah,
but I'm playing Game Pass edition, but I don't know. I'm thinking of buying the Hot Wheels DLC. It looks really good. Maybe later.
Later lah. That's for fast cars.
Yeah. Maybe later. I mean the vanilla is good enough for now.
So and on that note, we move to the news.
Yeah, the news. Wait, no use of that new soundboard we have.
Is it? Hold on. The news.
Hey, thank you Discord for the new feature.
Thank you Discord. Yeah.
Please don't log behind Nitro.
If it's locked, that's the only one we have already on the on our server.
That's the first and only time we'll use that.
Other than using fancy schmancy edits, which can be done with too much work lah. Anyway, the news.
Oh, bad news! E3 is dead.
Again.
Yeah. Again. Yeah.
Not because of the coof.
The coof. No, not the coof this time. It is just coof. Nah. Just like just people like nah.
Nah, you're not cool, man. E3's not cool. You know who's cool? Jeff Keighley.
Jeff Keighley?
Oh,
Jeff
is man. Cool, man. Man, where do we start? Okay, I think the best place to start is there were reports, there were rumors, there were speculation that many of the big publishers that were usually part of E3 and they are part of the ESA, the governing body that runs E3, they decided, no, we're not going to be attending E3. At least that's what people are saying. There were reports. I think it was a Bloomberg report one time, or is it other sources? I cannot remember. But they were like, that kind of like, yo, the source are good, so you can trust them, even though it's not official news yet. And then, I think Microsoft was one of the first to say, nah, we're not going to do E3 this year. But they're going to do their usual Xbox showcase. No Bethesda showcase, because Bethesda only have one game to show at E3, and that's Starfield. Okay. And then after that, closer, we have Ubisoft saying, no, we're not going to do E3, but we're going to have our own event. Yeah, the usual Ubisoft forward. Okay. And then more say those reports like Nintendo is not joining in, PlayStation is not joining. Even Devolver. Freaking Devolver Digital. That was never part of E3, by the way. They were just like also having they were just having put some part of the parking lot in LA, downtown LA, and just say, hey, this is our event. They also not gonna do an event in Los Angeles this year. Which is saying not something, saying a lot at the state of E3.
Still, E3 is bad when even the parking lot of dwellers are like, nah, mate, the Microsoft Theater parking lot is better.
The official people who, I don't know, official, the stragglers that were never part of E3 trying to like be E3 adjacent doesn't feel like E3 adjacent is cool. Also, like, yeah. We chill, let's go somewhere else.
Oh yeah, Papa Jeff gave us the parking lot next door. We took the summer game fest. Okay, it's been good. Oh,
and that's where it leads. E3, there were reports of E3 cancelled, and then suddenly, yeah. Shh. We'll say it officially. Yeah, E3 is cancelled. And Papa Jeff, the Dorito Pope himself, says, no, Summer of Video Games is not cancelled. Summer Game Fest 2023, on.
Yes.
What a power move.
Like, I need to change, because I usually do the schedules for, like, for EP stuff, and so for this year's one, I've put in, hold on, I have to check my computer. Okay, I've put in for the, as the working title right now, for our E3, okay, RIP E3, Long Summer Games Fest 2023, that's the official title for our schedule next, in 2 months' time.
At least it's better than the Summer Game Fest E3 2021 of gaming or something like that we did in 2021. Yeah,
that was too long.
Where for whatever reason there was Summer Game Fest, there was E3 2021, and also IGN's umbrella term of Summer of Gaming. So like, whoa, how many events are we? Yes.
Yes.
So yeah, what's on the schedule as of right now? I know not all of right the...
Yeah, so far there's only four. No. Yeah, four so far. So on June 9th, for our time, that's in GMT 8, is June 9th, Summer Game Fest at 3 a.m.
Yeah, the opening show. So plenty of announcements.
Yeah, and then there'll be a skip, a three-day skip before Xbox show with Bethesda. That's on June 12th. I think it should be around 2. And then another skip, like 2 hours. The PC gaming show comes back. That's on June 12th as well.
Oh.
And then the next day is Ubisoft. Yeah, this, I understand the silence. It's Ubisoft. On June 13th.
At least they're there. They're gonna present something.
One game do they have? Okay, cross... Skull and Bones, X-Defiant, The Crew 3, and Mirage? Yeah, so four games. Oh yeah, Just Dance, so five games, yeah. Five games.
They can make a show. They can make a show.
Yeah, so they have to put in the yearly Just Dance musical number.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I forgot, Devolver is still doing a show despite not being on E3.
I'm pretty sure it'll be like in the middle, because they have like... It should be like, you know, usually before Xbox, after Xbox.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, you can do it after Ubisoft. Just like last year, they did it after Ubisoft. Hence why they have the non-fuckable tapes. Oh my god. I remember that one.
Yeah, as far as Summer Game Fest goes, we'll see when it develops. Like, it's still April, so we have at least one more month to go for announcing more events. There's gonna be Dead Wholesome Direct somewhere. There's gonna be IGN's own stream of indie titles being announced. I believe Future Games Show gonna make a hello here and there. Though, of course, most of the shows may not be on our radar or your radar, but shows are shows. The announcements are gonna be announced. So.
Yeah, it has to be done. This is the way.
And the way is not by having E3 as our umbrella event anymore, from what it looks like. Yeah, like, this is not the first time E3 tries to revive itself and then die. It's died multiple times. But then that means that the whole tradition of who wins E3 is gone.
You know? I mean, who's who wins Summer Game Fest doesn't have the same vibe.
But we know who wins E3 this year. Jeff Keighley,
by default.
He wins by not playing.
Not only not by playing, but also like kills the game. He basically unplugs E3 and he replaces the cartridge with his own event. He's now the proper Pope Dorito again. Dorito Pope again. He will usher us to the next gaming era.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. Remember the last time Jeff Keighley hypes up a video game announcement? It was for Armored Core 6. Again, he hypes up about, this is the very best creation by one of the leading developers or whatever he says. He hypes it up so much. I don't know if you guys see, but there's also a clip somewhere from someone who played the Armored Core community. They clip that bit about Jeff Keighley singing high praises for From Software and Armored Core indirectly with a clip from 2000 whatever where he is there reviewing Armored Core for Answer and he just said, it's an okay game. It's a little bit bad though. 6 out of 10 or something. Basically dissing Armored Core. Oh, my times have changed. Jeff Keighley used to diss Armored Core. Now he's there like putting that game on a pedestal. Hear us. Hear, look at this game. Everybody hype up about this game that nobody plays anymore. That you should be playing after this. So I don't know, man. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Things happened before.
We don't know how what the future lies.
And remember, I'm not even joking about the Dorito Pope thing. Jeff Keighley used to sold out. He used to do all those ad deals, those cringy, cringy ad deals, just to get the show open.
He still does that.
You know what? Yeah, but maybe put that. Okay, cringy is debatable, but yeah. At least he's not getting Photoshop with shit Hydrobot these days. Does he? People are just like hyping up what Jeff Keighley, that what shoes are you wearing this time? So he's in a good place. He's in good standing within the gaming community. So yeah, Jeff Keighley, usher us to the new era, yes. Summer Game Fest. Oh, you also announced that opening night live is still a thing at the start of Gamescom, so
Double games.
By now we can already expect the next Game Awards is gonna be on. It's a tradition now. It's an institution now. It's not going anywhere.
Where else can we see the weirdness that is the weirdness that is game end of the year game stuff? Yeah,
the awards show that try to sell you games or rather products. It's pretty hype announcements still, you know. So can't complain.
So weird. Like, so weird. Yeah. Okay, whatever. Alright, next on the list, here's an interesting one. Remedy's Quantum Break has been made disappear from Game Pass, the stores, every stores, the 2016 issues. That's weird.
Weird, but at least it's temporary.
At least it's temporary.
Remedy has said it.
Looking at you, Activision. Looking at you, Activision.
Who was it? There's one of the guys that involved in Xbox. Is it Aaron Greenberg or something?
Yeah, Aaron Greenberg, yep.
Yeah, he's also assured that it's just a matter of licensing issues. Quantum Break is still will be around still, which is cool. You know what? When's the last time we thought about Quantum Break?
2-3 years ago.
Because that game, sure? But by all the Quantum Break came out in what, 2014 or 2013? 2014, 2015?
2015? It was the height of the Xbox One television era.
That's the thing. The television era is now, not 2015. 2015 was too early. Come on, think of it.
They were 5 years too early. Yeah, they were 5 years too early.
Microsoft was lambasted for saying TV, 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 TV.
And now it is TV, TV, TV.
Right now, it's everybody saying HBO Max, TV, Netflix, streaming, movie. Nintendo is doing a Mario movie. Yeah, this Last of Us has been like critical acclaim on HBO.
Yeah, so they were like 6 years too early. Yeah, they were 6 years too early.
Like, man.
I mean, honestly, like, people are somewhat anti TV at that time because of cable.
Yeah.
They're too early. They're a bit too.
They were too early.
Way too early.
It's always like that, you know. It's not a matter of the tech is kind of terrible or people just don't want it. It's just, it needs to be repackaged in a way that makes it enticing. Back then, yes. As you said, lah, cable was, I can see why cable is a problem. Lah. Subscription for a year, how many, how much? And then streaming arrived. Oh. And then streaming starts slowly to become cable again. Oh my god. Time, flat circle, whatever.
Is that right? Is that right?
It's a Mobius Street.
Mobius Street, even better. But yeah, think about it again. Quantum Break was a novel idea. It was, how was it again structure? I remember that it's partly a game and then partly a TV show.
Yeah, one mission, one episode. I think so. That there was like 10 levels, so 10 episodes.
It's bundled with the game, right?
Yeah, it's bundled with the game.
It's not like it's a separate thing that you can watch.
Like the main character, the cast is all dead. Everyone's there. But yeah, there's a problem. It doesn't translate well.
Because it's like too tied into the main game as well. It's not like you can do it as a standalone release. Because that would be a good idea.
Yeah, you have to watch. You have to play the game. And then you have to watch TV because when you go into the second level, you're like, what the fuck is going on? Why are we in the ship or whatever?
at least they were brave with doing the gimmick. Because if there is another attempt of trying to do transmedia of like games and shows / TV / movie / whatever again, maybe it could work, but in a way where people who don't play video games can enjoy it on its own as its own product, but then who plays the games can also enjoy the extra stuff. I don't know lah, because it's a surprise move lah, where people, everybody, all the video games adaptation has been like doing good. There are a few clunkers. Again, remember John Halo. So again, Microsoft, come on, cannot catch a break.
Come on, Microsoft. There's two in a row, man. One next. Wait.
But when it's done
just recently they have announced that they are making a Minecraft movie starring Jason Momoa.
Hold on, Minecraft story mode again?
No, not Minecraft story mode, an actual Minecraft, Minecraft movie.
Okay.
Oh my god.
They should stay away from story modes. Okay, wanna do Minecraft? Okay. That's a big enough property.
The time the charm. This one's gonna sell gangbusters.
I mean, I'm always skeptical, but then suddenly people say, "Oh yeah, do you watch the Minecraft movie?" I won't be surprised. It has happened before.
This is the Citizen's Kane of video game movies. Sorry, Sonic, this is the better one.
Oh shoot, we forgot to even mention Sonic. Sonic was supposed to be a bomb, but it didn't. It was bombastic. It was a blockbuster hit.
Yeah. I mean, the recent Mario one as well, like, recently, this is, on the time record, this is their second day? The second day of it, and I think they've already made, like, 300 million.
Wow.
Dollar reduce. Yeah, dollar reduce. So, see?
At least we are now living at the boom time of video game adaptations, lah. It was not 2015, it was, like, 2021, 2022, 2023.
2021, 2022, 21, yeah, Sonic comes up 21, so yeah, 5 years. I'm sorry, Remedy, that was 5 years too early.
Too early for
6 years.
I think it's because we have like a movie director, movie writers that actually understand video game.
Yeah, that's true.
And how to translate storytelling. And there's also the visual stuff, but we already have good visuals since before, it's just a matter of storytelling. How it would translate to movies. Yeah.
Oh, on that note, The Last of Us and the Super Mario movie have their respective developers being very much more hands-on than before. Lah. I'm not saying they are like properly involved, but they were somewhat involved. So, that's like, also...
Do not put Party Rock in my Mario.
Shigeru Miyamoto probably have vetoed some weird decisions.
no party rocking in my house tonight.
At least for the better lah, from what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool lah. At least more people get to see the power of video games. Or rather... the ecosystem in video games that have like cultivated very rich stories that can now be separated from the original medium. Like, I mean, before we have like, you know, novel adaptations and whatnot, man, but it feels frivolous. It feels like tacked on, even though it is I'm gonna go back. Maybe Mass Effect did this, or was it Halo? Because there were references from novelizations that somehow become canon and be put back into the main game. But the instances of that is just like far and few between. And so mostly I just like, oh, okay, cool. A video game based novel, okay, is there. But now people are clamoring for video game based media that is not video games. Interesting times.
Weird times.
So when is gonna go down? When's the boom gonna go bust? Put a date and see how wrong we are all.
Okay, so what next we have? Okay, so far in the timeline we have God of War TV show, Horizon TV show. Last of Us Part 2, of course. The Halo, I don't think Halo gets renewed, so that's not it. So the Fallout TV show. The Ghost of Tsushima movie. The Gran Turismo movie that's coming up.
Oh my god, I forgot about Gran Turismo movie.
The Gran Turismo movie, yeah, don't forget about that.
Shoot.
Yeah?
Okay, what I don't understand how they... No. What I mean is the Tetris movie. How the
Tetris movie. Oh, Tetris.
Yeah. People. Yeah. That one's actually like people say this is quite good because it's actually a thriller. Huh? Okay.
I was like, how would they translate Tetris to a movie? I don't get it.
As someone who have like followed the historical development of Tetris, which is a whole rabbit hole, there's a good video documentary on it. Try to find video game historians story of Tetris. So there's a whole rigmarole that will explain the the wild, wild west of video game publishers back then, and which explains how the heck that Tetris has way too many versions in that time. But the fact that they, somehow that movie translates all that the rigmarole of getting Tetris outside of the Iron Curtain into a thriller, that is something I have no idea how they pulled it off. But they did.
Indeed.
From what I hear, Tetris is also good.
Technically, that's another win for video game movies. For the development, yeah, the development itself is a good video game movie there.
Okay, when did the floodgates of good video game adaptations open? A video game movie.
Ironically, it does. After the internet bullied Sonic. When Sonic got bullied into a better design, yeah, that's where. That's how we got it there.
So 2020, the bullying of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes.
That's
when gonna... 21, and then the 21 release makes it better, yes.
Which makes it much more fitting that 2023, whether the murder of Sonic the Hedgehog becomes the best rated Sonic the Hedgehog game.
Yeah.
I see abusing Sonic has made wonders for Sega.
I think they saw the memes. I'm like, you know what? We can capitalize on this.
And see, and the memes work. It feels, it doesn't feel forced. It feels like, yeah, we poking fun with you guys as well, so let's just roll with it.
I hope they won't go into the deep end of Pregnant Sonic. Please.
Oh, no. Look, if some Sonic Dreams Collection is not canon, let's put it there. If somehow Sonic Dreams Collection is canon.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Oh man, I cannot lah.
Pregnant Sonic, what else? Sonic Chu.
Oh no.
There's a Christian rabbit hole over there.
You have put the keywords out for the listeners to Google at their own risk.
Please wear a hazmat suit.
Oh, the rabbit hole goes deep, deep, deep. Yeah. So, hopefully it can still sustain itself before it go bust by 2030. That's why I put the date.
Yeah, one more game. The Final Fantasy will also in this Halloween. So,
what in Halloween?
The Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, Freddy Fazbear.
Freddy Fazbear. It's Freddy Fazbear time to shine.
The one movie. The one video game movie that is allowed to do one jump scare.
you are now given your one mandated jump scare.
Are they gonna show the bite of 87? Who knows?
I have no idea. It's so secret. Yeah, it's so secretive. We don't know. My goodness. Video game scam.
I guess with on that note, we have to call it lah. Before the jump scare creeps on us. So what's on the thumbnail?
That's hard. Hard?
So many disparate teams.
The Upi Ipi Toyol thing from 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Is it the Upi Ipi Toyol one that we did back then? I don't remember.
Did we did an Upi Ipi Toyol?
I'm not sure.
I cannot remember, man. If that was true, man, that was a deep cut. I cannot remember.
Okay, fine. Everything already.
Okay, we put Upi Ipi in green. No, there is an Upi Ipi Toyol. There is a Toyol in Upin and Ipin, I should refer. Not to Upin and Ipin as the Toyol.
Oh my goodness, okay.
So clear distinction there, we are not turning the children green. This is not like, oh my god, this is not that one cringy drama somewhere where there is either a kid or a small person that has to like wear green colored for the whole show because he's a Toyol, like, oh man.
Wait. Okay, I remember that show.
Oh, core memory unlock.
I remember that show.
Yeah,
the bad core memory.
Core memory unlock.
Yeah, okay. The memories is resurfacing now.
Alright, okay, to Yol from Upin Ipin specifically. What Southeast Asian monster? Oh, Putih Balang? Put a sexy horseman there.
The horse, huh? Yeah, the sexy horseman, yeah.
Hmm. Main Pontianak, tired, wired, put the tip balang there.
Oh yeah, the movie is literally called Alamak Toyol.
Alamak Toyol.
Literally, oops, Toyol.
Alamak Toyol.
Oops.
Oh man, memories.
Oh my god.
What else should we put? I don't know, a car?
Yeah, maybe put okay, that car, that, what's that
we,
one?
We need a car representative of Forza Horizon 5.
Yeah, yeah. And the last one would be Ghostwire. I don't know. I guess we what put, would be good for Ghostwire?
We put the neon light from Ghostwire Tokyo. That should be good. You know, the aesthetic background of Ghostwire Tokyo. Blue, pink, and rain.
Yeah, I think that's good enough.
Okay, good enough. Toyo or, is still the show.
Yeah, or the knockoff Family Mart.
The knockoff Family Mart.
Either.
maybe I should go around and take screenshots, yeah. That game has a good photo mode. So. Yeah, with that said, our social links. What do we have coming up on the site?
Alright, this has been Daniel. You can follow me and my low quality ass on twitter.com. Or is it twitter.com? I have no idea anymore. The changes has been drastic. You can follow me at twitter.com at flakyff4ky. I will be doing a review on Cabaret, the game we have been talking about just now. Soon. Yep, it's coming on the left side soon. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Alan?
Yeah, can also find me on Twitter. Drop near DR4EPN1R. DR4EPN1R. Nothing in the pipeline for now. Mac?
And I have been Amirul Mekronos Ashraf, MECKRONOS. Find me there on the formerly Bird app. It's supposed to be a bird app and just a few days of it being a doge app.
Yeah,
but, somehow somebody forgot how to remove and put back the bird back. Whatever lah.
The April Fool's joke went too long.
And too late.
Too late and too long, yeah.
This is the joke. They were too incompetent to pull off the joke. What did I review? I have reviewed a couple of things, including an Acer monitor, a very cheap gaming monitor at under 500 ringgit. Go check it out on GameMatters.com. I've mentioned about the Sims 4 review for a couple of times. It is finally out. the review for the expansion pack, the latest expansion pack. And maybe just a tease for something you will know by the next episode what we have seen. That there is at least one big announcement that gonna be appearing in between this time of recording and the next episode. And by then you'll know why I suddenly played Ghostwire Tokyo. So should be good enough without breaking any contracts. Anyway, that's the Head Unlock, the Gamer Matters podcast, and
I hope nothing spooky happens.
Spooky thing happens is that we become a movie adaptation.
No, I don't want to be marketable flashy.
Oh no, become merch.